Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. I want to thank you for listening to this podcast from Connecting Faith. There are many more podcasts available at our website, myfaithradio.com. And your support makes this possible.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting Faith with Life.
Welcome to Connecting Faith. Great to have you listening in. I'm Neil Stavem. We're looking forward to a great hour today. Ted Ross at the controls. Ted, we have been involved in our partnership with Prison Fellowship here for several weeks now for the Angel Tree campaign, and it's just gratefully that the total continues to climb in terms of kids reached.
I'm so glad that we do this as a staff here because none of the sponsorships for Angel Tree go to us here at Faith Radio. Yeah. That's why we had our Gap campaign last week. It goes 100% to the ministry and to change lives that we're hearing these stories of, literally impacting lives for Christ, for the kingdom. It's amazing.
So our goal was as a network, listening family, that we could see about 1,200 kids reach or so, and we are well on the way. As of last evening, 609 children. That means that your gift's going to help reach those children with a Christmas gift, the gospel, and a message of love from their incarcerated parent. And so we ask without apology because this is such an important need, and we're going to find out more about it. And Ted, today's guest, I think I found in the second half of the program, we're going to hear from a lady who actually experienced Angel Tree as a teenager when she was trying to parent her siblings as young as just a few months old when her mother ended up getting sent to prison.
Wow.
And just really changed her life. It was a game changer, she says. We're going to hear her story. But the people that are involved in Angel Tree are passionate about it, and with good reason. And today's guest, I think, will find out the very same thing. Jennifer Lowry is the program manager for Angel Tree Camping and Mentoring. She's been on the Prison Fellowship staff since, about 10 years ago, first as a field director for Arkansas and an Angel Tree program specialist, and now in her role as Angel Tree Camping and Mentoring. She has a Bachelor of Arts degree and does a lot of speaking on behalf of Angel Tree and the work of Prison Fellowship, including their Prisoner Family Conference in many other areas. So we are honored to have Jennifer with us today as we talk Angel Tree once again. Jennifer, great to have you on Connecting Faith.
Oh, it's so great to be here. Thank you for having me. Oh,
this is, we're just kind of talking before the show, this is probably a fairly busy time around the offices of Angel Tree.
Absolutely. December, just you hit the ground running and you don't stop.
Yeah, but there's also a year-round activity, and we're going to find out a little bit about that as you work kind of in the camping and mentoring area as well. But say a word a little bit, introduce us to you a little bit in terms of your passion and interest in Angel Tree.
I'd be delighted. I actually came to work with Prison Fellowship in 2010, so it's in this role, and then in 2005 as a field director. So it's been almost 10 years that I've been a part of the Angel Tree program. My heart really goes out to the Angel Tree kids, and I think I have a little bit of an understanding and a passion for them, partially because of my own personal experience. I grew up in a home that had a lot of turbulence and saw my parents arrested when I was three. I know the impact that had on my life, and I know the need that I still had to know that my parents were okay and that they loved me. And that's one of the things that I love about Angel Tree is that it really connects the child with the parent and lets them know that they're loved and they're not forgotten.
Which is, it's tough being a three-year-old anyway, just trying to sort of figure out life and then to have something like that. I mean, that's pretty traumatic, isn't it?
It is, and it's tough to process. And so many Angel Tree kids have had that experience. At different ages, they may have witnessed their parents' incarceration. They may have come home to find them gone and not know where they've gone. It's a very troubling time. And you think about it. If you've had your parents arrested and incarcerated, and you have to get up and go to school the next day, how much of a challenge is that? And that's why it's so important for the body of Christ to come around these children and wrap their arms of love around them and tell them about Jesus and make sure that they know that they're loved.
I think the statistic that we've seen is what 1 in 28 school-age children have a parent in prison. I mean, that's basically it's a child in every classroom.
It is, absolutely. I mean, it's a huge, huge issue, and that means that in your in your listeners' churches and their Sunday school classes, the odds are that they already have kids that they're working with that have been impacted by the criminal justice system.
So Angel Tree goes back to, 1982, I think, or well, that's when you started partnering with churches. But is it just a matter of finding, something to help the kids more economically because they can't afford to get the gifts? Or say a little bit more about the philosophy and the heart behind this outreach.
Well, the philosophy and the heart behind Angel Tree is all about making connections. It connects the parent in prison with the child on the outside, which is something that's often very hard to do because of the nature of communications between prisoners and their families. And it also can be often an olive branch for a healing of a relationship that may have been broken and damaged because of the incarceration. But it also makes a connection with a family and a local church. And I think that's the thing that really jazzes me the most, is that it's not just a transactional thing where you send something off and have done a good deed. These gifts are delivered personally by believers in Jesus in the local communities where the families live. And the hope is that they'll be able to develop relationships with the families and, pull them into the life of the church and see Jesus work in their lives.
By the way, as you listen to today's conversation, and you've not yet made your gift to Angel Tree, let me just give out our toll-free number for that. It's 855-59-ANGEL. That's 855-592-6435. And it'd be great if, dozens of kids were underwritten, taken care of, even during this hour. We'd just be honored to know that you're standing with us. 855-59-ANGEL, or you can make your gift online at our website as well as myfaithradio.com. That's myfaithradio.com. Jennifer, just maybe you're managing Angel Tree Camping and Mentoring, but you've also been a program specialist. Just say a word about what happens to those church volunteers when they go and deliver a gift, and maybe you've been on some delivery trips as well, or talk more about what that's like and what that does for the recipient and the giver.
It's an amazing experience. My own personal church has been involved with Angel Tree for a number of years, and one of the best stories that I can remember is a family that we served a couple of years in a row. They had a little girl whose dad was in prison, and one of the things that she wanted the first year we served them and needed was a coat. And so we got her coat. We were real excited, and when we delivered it to the family, and they, they were just so appreciative that anybody had remembered them. And then when we served them again the next year, we found out that the coat had been the wrong size. And, we told the caregiver, man, we really would have loved to have gotten the right size. And she said to me, and I'll never forget this, she said, no, you don't understand. She would not take the coat off. It was from her dad. And I think that underscores how very important this is to the children and to the families, and how much it touched my heart, because it's, it didn't matter that it was the wrong size. It mattered that her dad sent it.
We hear, realize that so many homes are broken, and certainly this is a terrible disruption too when one parent is in prison, or maybe even both. But to know, I mean, we've heard the stories time and time again that kids still love their parents, right? I mean, it's not that there may
Absolutely.
Be some anger, but they still want to know that they're loved and cared for.
Exactly, and. Angel Trees, all the families that we work with are not a one-size-fits-all. There are many different situations, and some of the families are really fighting hard to stay together. As a matter of fact, my husband visited an inmate this morning who's serving in a county jail in Arkansas, and he mentioned over and over again how appreciative he was of Angel Tree, that his wife had just picked up the gifts from the church that had served them like yesterday. And it was such an encouragement to them, because they are a family that's really trying to stay close, and Angel Tree is a way to make that happen. And And I just really want the listeners to know how much the parents in prison appreciate that. They tell us that over and over again.
Talk about how, you know, the parents that are, you know, maybe this signing up to for their children to be involved in Angel Tree may be a first step toward reconciliation, or it's just a way to make a connection. But talk about how those connections can grow and be deepened and actually lives changed, maybe, you know, individually as a family and then maybe even as a community.
Well, we have heard story after story about families where where maybe there's been an estrangement because of the incarceration, but the parent decides to take a risk, and they sign up for Angel Tree, and the call goes out from to a church to serve that family. And I mean, one of the examples that I think of is a young boy named Wyatt, who's also an Arkansas story, and both of his parents are incarcerated. He's a teenager, and the church that he was assigned to, the coordinator happened to be a teacher in the local school system, and so when they saw Wyatt's name, they knew him, and were just, you know, reached out to him gently, and in addition to just the Christmas side of things, they started to bring him to their youth group, and he really just got enveloped in the life of the church. They took him to summer camp. They took him on a group with the other students to look at a college in Oklahoma, a Christian college, and they have just really, you know, wrapped themselves around Wyatt. And I got to meet him last year, and he is just such a sharp young man, and you can just see the hope that he has in his eyes because of the love that he's experienced and because of the knowledge that his parents do remember him and care about him.
Well, the opposite is sadly the situation for many, right? That the child of those with a parent in prison often become offenders themselves, right?
It can happen. It's not a given, and of course, because of the hope of the gospel, we know that that's not necessarily the destiny, but it certainly is true that the Angel Tree kids that we serve are at very, very high risk. Having a parent in prison is a high risk factor. Most of the families that we work with also struggle with economic problems. Not all of them are financially disadvantaged, but most of them, I would say, are. They live with a lot of transients. They live with a lot of shame. And it's very, very hard for families sometimes to get the support they need in a community to kind of make the changes that would keep them on the right track. Just because, you know, if you think about it, if your dad is gone because he's deployed in the military, folks are behind you and they understand that and they care. If your dad is gone because he's passed away, or that, you know, even if it's just been a divorce, communities are much more understanding about that. But, you know, how do you tell somebody, you know, my dad's in jail? And I think that, you know, it makes it very, very hard for kids to reach out and ask for the help that they need because they're embarrassed and they're not sure what the reactions are going to get.
Angel Tree is a powerful program. God's using it in amazing ways to touch thousands of lives, literally thousands of lives. And we're looking here at just at Faith Radio to see if we could just reach, you know, a few hundred. 1,200 is our goal for this Angel Tree campaign. It's ongoing now. You can be a part of it with your call at 855-59-ANGEL. That's 855-592-6435. $73. We're going to help reach five children with a Christmas gift, the gospel, and a message of love from their parent in prison. We'd be honored to have you partner with us. Already 600 plus children have been taken care of through your generosity. So if you've not yet responded, this would be a great time to do that. And coming up in a moment, we'll talk more with Jennifer Lowry. Jennifer serves as the program manager for Angel Tree Camping and Mentoring. She's been an Angel Tree program specialist and worked with Prison Fellowship for the past 10 years or so. And we're going to talk about the ongoing, the year-round work and impact of Angel Tree. We talked about how churches just sort of wrap up and envelop these kids, and the gospel gets lived out in very powerful ways. We'll get some more of her comments and stories in just a moment. Thank you for your partnership today in Angel Tree. Online, it's myfaithradio.com, and you can make your gift there as well. midst of Christmas season, and we're talking Angel Tree. It's a wonderful Christmas outreach of Prison Fellowship, providing gifts, a Christmas gift, the gospel, and a message of love from an incarcerated parent to children around the country, and your gift makes a difference. $73 will reach 5 children, 146 will reach 10. You can pick the amount and then call in with your support at 855-59-ANGEL, or you can give on our website at myfaithradio.com. Talking today with Jennifer Lowry. Jennifer has worked with Prison Fellowship for the past 10 years or so. Her present role is a program manager for Angel Tree Camping and Mentoring, and Jennifer, we want to find out, Angel Tree is not just a Christmas gift ministry. In fact, that's sort of the beginning of it. But there is some opportunities year-round to make that connection, right? Say more about the good work of Angel Tree 365 days a year.
Oh, I'd love to. one of the things that we really encourage churches to do when they serve Angel Tree kids is to think about it as an opening door for ministry. And we intentionally, as a ministry, partner with Christian camps all across the country because we know that a week at Christian camp can be a life changer for kids. And I know from personal experience how much camp meant to me in my life and how much my relationship with Christ grew as a result of a solid Christian camp. We work with about 90 Christian camps across the country, and last year saw about 6,100 children scholarshiped. So it's exciting to see the impact. And one of the things that we see through camping is that kids really get a chance to get away. They hear the gospel, they connect with Christ and with other believers, and then they go home, and we've seen that totally impact their families as well.
It's, I think we all, know about the kind of, life-changing experiences or steps along our faith journey for us and for our children. We want that to happen. And certainly, those that have a parent in prison are facing a lot of limitations and obstacles. So this is a huge way to really break down an important barrier and really lift somebody up.
It is. And some of the camps that we work with have special weeks that are specially for Angel Tree kids. One of the ones that I'm thinking about that's actually developed into a more than one site camp started in Hawaii. It's called Camp Agape. And one of the neatest things that they do at the end of the week, they work with the kids all week long. They have almost a 2-to-1 ratio of campers to counselors. So there's a lot of attention and a lot of love. And at the end of the week of camp, they have kind of a reconciliation ceremony, and they give the kids an opportunity to talk about how they feel about their parent. And there's often really great forgiveness and healing that starts at camp and can really end up in a healed relationship and just letting go of some grief and some pain. And it's just a wonderful thing to see.
Jennifer, you talked about kind of your own experience as a 3-year-old, how challenging and unsettling that was. Are camps more for the teens, and do children respond maybe differently depending on what age they are when their parents might be taken away to prison?
Absolutely. Camp is available for kids usually starting about second or third grade, and each of the camps that we work with may have a different age range. But it generally ranges from second grade all the way up to high school age. The research that we know shows that kids who lose their parents to incarceration in those early grade school years, from maybe 5 years old up until, 10 or 12, that there's a really, really high impact because those are the years where the kids really remember and they can understand that their parent is gone. But there's never really a good time for a parent to be gone.
Yeah, no doubt about that. You also do mentoring as well. Just say a little bit more about that. And maybe just, someone listening today that if they wanted to volunteer in a pretty strategic way, this talk more about the opportunities there.
Absolutely. Well, mentoring really is just another word for discipleship, which is what we're all called to as followers of Jesus. And we have, and that can happen on a formal basis through a partnership with other mentoring organization in the community. And we do work on partnering with organizations across the country that already have existing mentoring programs that could support a local church as they wanted to reach out to Angel Tree kids. And many of them have a goal of serving children of incarcerated parents, knowing that the intervention of just one caring adult can really turn the tide in a child's life. Mentoring can happen in a couple of different ways. It can happen through a formal relationship with a mentoring organization. A church can decide to develop its own in-house mentoring program. Or it can just happen organically, like it happened with Wyatt, where somebody just made a connection and started bringing him to church and caring about him and following up on him at school. And, you know, so it doesn't have to be as daunting as people think. You don't have to be perfect to be a mentor. You just have to care and show up.
That's so much a part of it. We got just a couple minutes left here before we get on to hearing Michelle's story, but maybe just say a word as a parent, someone who's working with Angel Tree and invested in this ministry. What would be your challenge for people listening on why they should get involved and the kind of impact that their gift can really make?
Well, I would just say that, I mean, children are at the heart of at our heart, and they should be at the heart of, and they are at the heart of Jesus. We are called to love on kids, and Angel Tree is a real tangible way to do that. And we're also called to remember the fatherless and to remember the widows, and kids who are living without a mom or dad are orphaned for a while, and their parents are struggling. And so, when you make a gift to Angel Tree, you are really helping honor the call of the gospel. You're bringing the love of Jesus into the lives of families all over the country. You are making sure that kids know that they're loved. And I don't think there's anything that you could do that would have more eternal impact than lending your support to Angel Tree right now.
Jennifer, thank you. God bless you for the great work you're doing there, and wish you and your family a wonderful Christmas as well. And know that as a result of maybe our conversation today, many other children with an incarcerated parent are going to have a better Christmas in the years to come.
That's awesome. Merry Christmas to you all as well, and thank you so much for your support.
Jennifer Lowry joining us today. She's program manager at Angel Tree for their camping and mentoring division, and she's been an Angel Tree program specialist, worked with the Prison Fellowship as a field director in Arkansas in the past as well, joining us today here on Connecting Faith. Our Angel Tree number is 855-59-ANGEL. That's the number we're giving out today. Coming up in the next half hour, we're going to share a couple of stories, powerful testimonies, including a visit with Michelle Rainey. We're going to hear her impact of Angel Tree as a 15-year-old that started, and it's a pretty powerful story for her. It was a game changer, and I want to encourage you to stay tuned for that coming up in just a moment. In the meantime, you can be a part with your Angel Tree gift right now at 855-59-ANGEL. It's 855-592-6435. More Connecting Faith in a moment. We have some life-change stories to tell in this half hour. We're going to hear from Michelle Rainey in a moment, but before she tells her story, I thought we'd share one of the other great stories that we've received here from Angel Tree, just as a reminder again of the ways that you can impact and change lives with your gift today at 855-59-ANGEL. This is Adam's story.
Even at 10 years old, Adam Stevenson knew his destiny. Every adult male in his family had been in and out of prison. But that Christmas, more than 20 years ago, Angel Tree helps give Adam a glimpse of hope.
Christmas Eve, there was a knock at the door, and there are people there with their arms full of gifts, and they're from my father who was incarcerated. At that time, you feel great. You realize that your father was still thinking about you. Eventually, my father finishes his sentence, but he continues this journey of going in and out of prison over and over again. And every time, my heart is broken. Somewhere around 2012, my father is arrested again. I'm trying to keep it together. Tears are filling my eyes. I'm having the same emotional break that I've always had. And God speaks to me, and he reminds me of my Angel Tree experience. He lets me know that I could have been a statistic. When every male in your family has done significant time in prison, what he showed me on that day is that he had spared me. I, who was once an Angel Tree child, could now be a blessing to someone else. And so I instantly signed up to be an Angel Tree church coordinator. I'm excited. And so every day I'm coming home, getting on my wife's nerves, wondering if anybody would ever call me. Well, at this time, I worked for Enterprise. So I go pick up a customer from Carson, California. As I pulled up, this lady comes out. She gets in the car, and she begins to tell me how she gives out toys to disadvantaged children every year and how she uses the truck in order to load it up and deliver gifts. I begin to tell her my story about how I recently signed up for this thing called Angel Tree and how I'm so excited and I'm waiting to become involved, but they tell me that there's a field director and I'm waiting on a call from her. There's silence in the vehicle. The lady, her mouth drops open, and she tells me, "I'm the lady." We instantly start to laugh, and she begins to tell me how her office is full of toys and she has no volunteers. I took the next 3 days off of work, wrapped toys, called parents to set up dates and distribution days. And so for the last few years, I have worked with Angel Tree, being a blessing to kids. Today, I look back at that broken little boy sitting on the steps in the project, wondering if life would ever get any better. Here I am, 23 years later, married to a beautiful, supportive wife, have three great daughters. And as I preach the gospel on Sunday mornings, I get the joy of looking back and seeing my father play the bass guitar in the church that I pastor. And this is the thing. It all started with a gift. Somewhere there's a little girl or little boy who is broken because their father or their mother is sitting in prison. And you never know what this one gift will do for them.
Somewhere, maybe in your own community, another 10-year-old needs to know that life gets better.
You can be a part of changing that story for that 10-year-old or the 5-year-old, or as we're going to hear, the 15-year-old on the next segment here of Connecting Faith. But when you give $73, it's going to help reach 5 children with a Christmas gift, the gospel, and a message of love from their incarcerated parent. And you can make that gift online at myfaithradio.com, or you can call 855-59-ANGEL. It's 855-592-6435. Well, coming up next, we want to hear Michelle's story. Michelle is now a mother. She is a nurse. She has a degree. She has an amazing commitment and passion about Angel Tree, because as she tells her story, it was a game changer, and we have to go back to the beginning when her mother ended up going to jail, and life changed dramatically for her. Michelle, welcome to Connecting Faith. It's good to talk with you.
It's good to be here. Thank you.
I know just a little bit about your story, but I ask you to just kind of tell it to our listeners. It kind of goes back to, I guess, what about when you were a teenager, right? When you suddenly sort of got put in the place of being mom.
Yes, when I was 15 years old, my mom was incarcerated. I was the oldest of 5 children. The baby was 8 weeks old. There was a 3.5, almost 4-year-old, a 7-year-old, and an 8-year-old. So I was left to be in charge of them.
Now, wouldn't social services have probably come in and sort of split up the family?
They absolutely probably would have. And this was the only family I know. We don't have grandparents. Fathers, there's 2 or 3 different fathers. They weren't in the picture. This is the only family I had. So I wanted us all to stay together.
Well,
I didn't want us to be split up.
So maybe we need to back up a little bit about what you mentioned. There were 3 fathers not in the picture. Tell me a little bit about home life for you.
Okay, my mom, she had been a drug abuser. She'd lost a child when I was 11. I had a little brother, 8 years old, killed. And in her early teens, she had been a drug abuser. And now that I'm an adult, I know I'm a nurse actually now, and I understand kind of when you've got drug issues early in life that later in life tragedies can bring those full force. So, and it did with my mother.
When you're 15, she goes to jail for drug. Was it a long sentence? So you were going to be on your own for a while?
Initially, we didn't think it was going to be a long time. Didn't know exactly how long it was going to be, but she didn't think it was going to be a long time. And so, like I said, we wanted to stay together. I wanted us to stay together. She didn't have to make me do that. This is the only family I'd known. So I just did what I needed to do.
Sure. Getting by on a, as I understand, it was a small disability check from your little brother had received. So talking about when Angel Tree came into the picture and what your reaction was to that.
Well, initially I was pretty untrusting because that's the kind of lifestyle that we were living in. So, you know, everybody is not everybody means bad, you know. Mm. My mom even taught me God was bad. So, you know, God was the reason everything happened in our lives, awful. And so, you know, if God's bad, everybody else is bad too. So we didn't trust people. So initially we kind of resisted the Angel Tree involvement, or I did, because I didn't know, you know, there were good people in this world. I wasn't raised to be a Christian.
Your mom had signed up when she's incarcerated because she realized that you wouldn't have any presence otherwise?
Absolutely. And, you know, it's now that I help more with it, you know, it's that connection. So that's what it's meant to be. She signed up because she knew we wouldn't, you know, she knew I was going to be struggling to take care of the kids. And then she, you know, it's a connection to your children because we didn't get to see her often either.
She was a long ways away, or was it?
Yes, she was several hours away.
Which, as I understand, is quite common, right? Those that are incarcerated are often separated, and it's very seldom that you would actually even get to see your parent.
Absolutely. You know, there's no connection. It's just a completely severed connection almost.
So Angel Tree volunteers, they came, or they invited you to a woman invited you to a party, is that right?
Yes. We actually, it was... Is my second? I can't remember exactly because it was my second or third year. We had a church drop-off gifts for Angel Tree 1 year, and I think a second year. I can't remember exactly, but eventually we met a lady out of Bethany, Oklahoma, Bethany First Church of the Nazarene. Actually, she came knocking on my front door, and we let her in. Well, I think one of the kids let her in. She came in and told us about a party. She wanted to invite us to a party, and, I mean, we'd heard of Angel Tree, but we'd had very minimal interaction, and so she wanted gift wishes and then to invite us to this party, and so we were reluctant, but I was a kid still, you know, and you invite it. Parties sound fun. They are fun usually, so...
And
kind of enticed us.
Sure. And plus, you're not only a kid, but you're trying to be mom to your, you know, younger siblings. And you know that they would appreciate, you know, some attention at Christmas, too, right?
Absolutely. You know, I didn't get to. We were just in survival mode. So fun was not a part of survival mode.
Yeah.
You know, anything fun.
So you go to church, the Angel Tree Party at church. So talk a little bit about what happened then.
I can still remember the very first Angel Tree party that we went to at Bethany First Church, and I remember hearing the Christmas story and why we had Christmas. I wasn't raised in church, so, you know, it's obviously a meaningful story. It was the first time that I had any exposure to people doing kind things because God had asked them to. So hearing about Jesus, about this birth of this Savior, and those kind of exposures were just, I don't know, unreal almost. Still kind of a dream. It wasn't real, but it enticed my heart, I guess, is God working on my heart.
You met people that were showing kindness, the love of Christ in pretty practical ways. And talk about Judy. Tell me a little bit about her.
Oh, I can... I can tell you a whole lot about Judy. So probably love. When I think of Judy, I think of love. And she brought it from the moment that she walked into my front door. And it's been there. It was a huge void in my life. So she's been there to fill that, not just with her life, but to tell me about Christ's love for me. So early on, I met Judy. She always, probably not our first interaction, but three or four times the way her program works is that her husband teaches at Southern Nazarene University, and so he gets college students involved, and they brought us on campus to have a party. I can't remember the occasion exactly, but it was the first time that I was on a college campus. She told me, "You're going to graduate from college one day. I'm going to go to your college graduation one day." And I'd been a seventh grade graduate, so hearing that was unreal. It didn't mean anything to me, and I don't know. I didn't realize that God was using her to work on my heart, and that's exactly what He did.
You know, you'd basically kind of dropped out, right, to be mom to your kids while your mother's in prison, right? So the idea of doing more school was maybe hard to fathom.
I was in seventh grade when my mom's drug use got out of control, and this was even a few years before she went to prison. Going to school was that was not going to be recognized in my life. You know, that dream died when I became the parent to my siblings. So, you know, Judy talking about that, like I said, bringing me to these Angel Tree events at the college, speaking those kind words into my ear, and eventually, you know, they were in my heart. She was planting them there with every interaction.
We're going to hear more about Michelle Rainey's story because she understands the power of Angel Tree, has experienced it, you know, from early on, and you'll find out how her life has been changed even more since then. Stick around as we continue the conversation here on Connecting Faith. We're talking with Michelle Ward Rainey. Her and her family were a recipient of Angel Tree outreaches. She was skeptical. She was untrusting by her own admission. And I think, as she said, even her mom said, you know, God wasn't trustworthy, but met some people that showed love, invited her to other events. She met someone along the way, said that, you know, they were going to go to her college graduation sometime. So pick up the story maybe after that. You eventually did get your GED. Kind of fill us in from there.
Yes. Well, God used Judy to work on my heart, Angel Tree, getting us to these college events. I got my GED. I didn't tell Judy about it before the night before I took the test. I just called her and asked her to pray for me that I was going to take it the next day. Over this was right at the beginning of summer. Over the summer, course of summer, we'd started going to church at some point with some of these kids we met at an Angel Tree party. And one of them had said, you know, you got your GED, you're going to go to college. And I called Judy up one day, and maybe it was about a week, but it was exactly a week before school started. And I said, you know, I think I want to go to college. I'm not sure what I need to do. And her husband's a college professor. So she puts him on the phone, and he's Larry, and she gets Larry on the phone, and he says, well, I'll be there at 8:30 the next morning. I'll be there at 8:30 in the morning. And he came and picked me up, and we went to OSU OKC in Oklahoma City, and he helped me get enrolled, fill out financial information. I had to take some placement testing, get a schedule together, and then took me and bought my books, and I don't think he wanted to give me a chance to back out, so he just kind of jumped on it, and it took me 4 years to get a two-year degree. I mean, I had to make up for some of those deficits of not going to high school. But I pushed forward and did it, and I'm an RN now. I finished up my BSN in May, so I'm furthering my education now as an even older adult.
That's, you know, looking back, you look back to your life, you know, when you were 15 years old, I mean, life turned pretty much upside down. I mean, it was sounded like it wasn't necessarily a stable home environment then, but it certainly, you know, you had a lot of years where it just didn't seem like, you know, any sort of dreams going to come true at all, were they?
Absolutely. You know, yeah. My life, as far as I'd known, as you know, when I was a child, that was just all there was to it, was survival. And survival mode's an awful place to live. And not being a Christian's an awful way to live. I'm a Christian now. I can't imagine. I can't imagine without the Angel Tree intervention any of these things changing for me. And you know, I don't live in survival mode. I'm raising Christian children. You know, I can't. that life was awful. It was horribly unstable.
Tell me about that point where you realized that the love of Jesus wasn't not just something from Angel Tree Volunteers, or something you could experience personally. How did that happen?
I don't think I could pin it down to one event, but just all these people. Every time you're at an Angel Tree event, there's lots of praying and lots of talking about Jesus and, you know, those kind of things after a while of hearing them and then seeing them in action and people's kindness. You can't help it. You know, that's God working on my heart. And I don't even know. I couldn't even pin it down to one thing.
You've become an Angel Tree volunteer now, haven't you?
I have. I have four kids, and they all volunteer. We just had our party last week, so it's a pretty big event. We have over 200 kids that come to our Angel Tree party that we get the referrals from Prison Fellowship Ministries. But it's huge and it's awesome, and I can understand how each one of those kids are feeling. It's wonderful to be on the other side and get to talk to people and let some of these kids know we host a different family every year, and you know, letting them know I've been in your shoes, and this isn't the end of the road. God has plans, and He can work in dark times. And matter of fact, in dark times, He's working the hardest. And in my life, in those very very dark times, He used Angel Tree to just rewrite my story.
You know, there are thousands, you know, just like you and your family. I mean, those were the only gifts you got, right? As when you were all just, you know, little kids, that was all you had, right?
That was absolutely all we had. We barely ate. So Christmas presents were not something that was extra. That was not going to happen for us had it not been for Angel Tree. Like I said, we were survival mode. You know, there's no room for presents in survival mode. They don't exist.
You know, there's a great opportunity for people to be involved still today. And, of course, we're in the midst of our campaign with Angel Tree and a wonderful partnership to see kids reached with a gift and the message of the gospel and a message of love from their parent in prison. What would you say to someone listening now who hasn't gotten involved? You know, what would be the – why is it so important to do it?
It's a game changer. It's a game changer. These kids, this outreach, they need to know about Christ and in much of their world that's not even discussed. So it's a way you know to reach them in that manner and to let them know their parents do love them, no matter what mistakes they have made. And like I said, it was a total game changer for me. It changed the whole course of my life and the whole course of my children's lives and everybody that they're going to affect now. So it's this it's enormous ripple effect that who knows where it'll stop. And I'm not the only person that can have a changed life and that has had a changed life through Angel Tree. There's lots of people, and there can be lots more if everybody gets involved and does their part.
Well, Michelle, congratulations on your schooling. I'm sure that has been just a huge part of, you know, God's work in your life, and that you're involved in nursing. I mean, obviously, you've seen the need for good health care, you know, growing up in a pretty unhealthy environment. So God is really using you in a great way, and we thank you for sharing your story with us today.
Well, thank you for allowing me to.
Blessings on your Christmas, and we just want to pray for those kids that you touch during Angel Tree. And you said you kind of adopt a family too, right? So it goes beyond just the Christmas gifts, right?
Absolutely. It was a year-round ministry for me. That's what changed my life. Is lots of people. It took lots of people. I tell people now, God sent an army after me, and so I'm proud to be a part of that army now. And hopefully, you know, me and my family can help change somebody else's life.
You've encouraged us today with your good words, Michelle. Thank you. We look forward to hearing more great reports of the people that respond to Angel Tree. And just thank you again for telling us your story.
Well, thank you so much, Neil.
Michelle Ward Rainey, at 16, began raising her four younger siblings, ranging in age from 6 weeks to 8 years old, when her mother was sent to prison. Angel Tree played a key part in changing the it was a game changer for her life. You can be part of that army of friends that are making a difference in people's lives. We're going to share one more story before our time is gone, just to remind you again about how you can have an impact. 855-59-ANGEL is the phone number, or you can give online at myfaithradio.com. Let's hear Ann's story next.
Ann Gifford's heart was broken. Her daughter, Lizette, lost in a world of drugs and crime, had abandoned her family.
I didn't even know if she was alive anymore. In fact, if I watched television and they found a body, I thought, well, maybe that's hers, and I would glue onto it. And it wasn't until I received this phone call on my cell phone, and I picked it up, and she says, "Is this Ann Gifford?" And I said, "Yes, it is." And she says, "I just want to tell you that your daughter, Lizette McKinney, was just sentenced to 15 years to the state prison. All I could say is, you mean she's alive?"
Ann's daughter was alive, but still lost. She gathers her grandchildren, and together they pray, not knowing how God would answer.
In prison, my daughter Lizette hit rock bottom. She finally dropped on her knees and asked Christ into her heart, because she had no one else. But it was shortly after that that a chaplain came and asked her if she would like to participate in the Angel Tree program.
Lizette didn't know exactly how Angel Tree works, but as a mother, she aches to connect with her children. And as a new believer, she hopes and prays for God's help. In faith, Lizette signs up her daughter and two sons, Brooklyn, Ashton, and Preston, children she barely knows, for a Christmas surprise.
It was so wonderful because there were these three bags with beautiful gifts inside and a little angel tree on them saying that they were from my daughter, and they signed her name. Well, the older one, he had just turned 9, he took the angel tree gifts and handed them out to his brother and sister. And when he opened his gifts, inside was a football jersey, and it was a little small one. And then when the younger 5-year-old opened his gift, he had a football jersey that was real big. And I said, "Oh, your mother must have mixed up the packages. You can switch." And the older one, Ashton, held it close to his chest and he said, "Oh no, this is the jersey my mother chose for me. I'm not going to switch." And that night, I went up to check on them in their beds, and the older one had his jersey clenched, just holding close to his chest, fast asleep, and the younger one was sleeping in his jersey. These children suddenly had something tangible in their hands. It gave them such hope and a real sense of a future that, yes, mother's gone, but mother is somewhere, and she's going to come home someday.
With Angel Tree Kids, it's not the gift that matters. It's the feeling of being loved, not forgotten.
That first Angel Tree experience opened the lines of communication between my daughter and her children. When I went to visit her the next time, I remember so vividly that she broke down in tears and she said, "How are my children? Do they ever ask about me?" And then she started writing them and they started writing her.
The church that delivered those gifts to her kids, Lizette is now serving on staff.
She now is one of the coordinators of the Angel Tree program at her church. So when those names come in and she hears the stories, she has such love and prayers over them because of how Angel Tree changed her life while she was incarcerated.
It's been said the best way to serve God is to find a place that He's already working and join Him there. Angel Tree works. Will you join us?
Hope you've been encouraged by our stories today. Angel Tree is a wonderful ministry. Looking for your partnership today. $73 will help reach 5 children with a Christmas gift, the gospel, and a message of love from their incarcerated parent. You can call 855-59-ANGEL or give your gift online right now at myfaithradio.com. Thank you for your generosity.